The Gospel of Mark, chapter 16, verses 9 through to 20. When Jesus rose early on the first day of the week, he appeared first to Mary Magdalene, out of whom he had driven seven demons. She went and told those who had been with him and who were mourning and weeping. When they heard that Jesus was alive and that she had seen him, they did not believe it. Afterward, Jesus appeared in a different form to two of them while they were walking in the country. These returned and reported it to the rest, but they did not believe them either. Later, Jesus appeared to the 11 as they were eating. He rebuked them for their lack of faith and their stubborn refusal to believe those who had seen him after he had risen. He said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up snakes with their hands. And when they drink deadly poison, it will not hurt them at all. They will place their hands on sick people, and they will get well." After the Lord Jesus had spoken to them, he was taken up into heaven, and he sat at the right hand of God. Then the disciples went out and preached everywhere, and the Lord worked with them and confirmed his word by the signs that accompanied it. These are the words of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Our message this morning is centered on these last 11 verses of Mark's Gospel that have just been read to us. Jesus had told the remaining 11 disciples to go to Galilee and meet with him there on the mountain. There he explained to them what is expected of them when he was gone. Then he gives them he gave them the authority that he gives them to fulfill what he asked them to do. Then he gave them their marching orders into the world. At no other part in the history of the world is it more obvious that the Lord has committed the gospel to his church. We have a fourfold account of the great commission of our Lord. Mark declares the content of the gospel is good news, and that Jesus instructs his disciples to cross the barriers of geography, difference in economic circumstances, cultural and racial differences, and interpersonal relationships to tell the world the news that salvation has come into the world through our Lord's death on the cross, and that those who believe on his word will not perish, but have everlasting life. It is further appropriate that we be reminded of the three great missionary motives. First is the command of Jesus, who tells us to go. Second, the inner compulsion of the Holy Spirit that is within every Christian that says, "You must go." And the inner voice of God that says, "Keep going." The needs of the world are obvious. We only have to watch the news and programs on our television every night. They see that the world desperately needs a Christian revival. The mission task of the people of God is not a matter of emotion or feeling. It is not a work to be carried out at our convenience. We are under orders from the Lord Jesus, who effectively said to disciples, you take it from here. What he said to them, he is still saying to his church today, to us. There are at least three things about this command of our Lord that we need to understand. First is the authority of the command. A religion that has no authority is a worthless one. Some have said that each individual is autonomous, that is, that he can live out the Christian life to suit himself. With this principle, we might conclude that things pertaining to Christian life are arbitrary or optional. We can do them or not do them as we see fit. But the other side of that record is the authority of Christ, and Jesus leaves no question about his authority. He's told his disciples, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. These are the orders of our King." If the church asks you to do it, you might have wavered. If the preacher asks you to do it, you might have made a decision to do it or not to do it. If the only reason we have for our mission as Christians was that other churches were doing, we would question our need to comply. But our Lord, whose authority is beyond question, has given us this command. So the principle is established. We are to do this under the authority of the King. It is the task of Christians within the church and the task of ministers to show people who God is in Christ Jesus. He is the one who left the glory of heaven and came among humans, who lived as a man, who gave his life a sacrifice on Calvary's cross, who demonstrated the power of God over death and the grave by his glorious resurrection. It is he who says, "The authority belongs to me." This is the one who certifies his work. He is the one who stood by his disciples and gave them their marching orders. The cross was behind him. The resurrection was the sealing bond. He lived, he loved, he taught, he served, and he died for the people of all time. He has a right to say to his church, to you and to me, "Go and make disciples." It is a steady task. Our Lord has not merely given us something to believe, but something to do. He, in a few sentences, is the scope of the task he has given us. The command leaves no question. What is the business of the church, the business of the Christian? It is to bring people to God through Jesus Christ. It is to baptize those who are one. It is to teach the way, the work, and purpose of our Lord. It is written indelibly in the history of the church that a Christian thrives and churches grow when we are passed on our faith to others. The mission God has given us is in personal terms. It is not meant to be done by professionals, although we need trained ministers. Paul was a scholar, and God used him to write the hard and not easily understood theology we find in his letters in Romans and Ephesians. It is meant to be an expression of the faith, hope, and love of every individual who has, through their own salvation, a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus. It is the task of every Christian. A church may have some admirable characteristics. It may be financially successful, physically attractive, and organizationally complete. But if it does not reflect the flame of missionary zeal, then we have to question where that church is going. There are people in our nature, in our nation, and in our own area of Golden Grove where there is need for the filling of a spiritual vacuum. Personal, face-to-face encounters by the people of God, by Christians, can provide the good news of God through Christ Jesus. These areas are full of domestic problems, youth dilemmas, economic anxieties, and social and cultural chaos. Great barriers exist in the minds and behavior patterns of tens of thousands of people. Jesus himself said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." As we review our yesterdays, let us take a new look at tomorrow and understand that God is saying in Christ Jesus, "As you go, make disciples." If we are keeping our faith to ourselves, then we are not filling the task that God has set us. We need to tell people that God, what God has done for us, he can do for them. Jesus expressed his authority for this mission, defined and continued and steady task of personal relationship with others, concluded his commission with a promise: "Surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." One of the traumatic experiences of personal relationships is the moment in which you must say goodbye to a dear friend. It is difficult to express feelings in a moment like this. Sometimes we say, "I will be thinking of you." By this we mean that in spirit we'll be sharing our friend's experiences, helping sustain and encourage our friends in his or her new venture, though we may be separated from them. Certainly it does help to know that they are not forgotten. And continued relationships can be maintained by letters and phone calls. Pat's brother telephones us from the UK, and we telephone them. It is good to catch up and share with the family. But our Lord goes further than that. He does not say, "You will be in my thoughts." He says, "I will go with you." The promise of the living Christ is not just a dream. It's a promise of a very presence by a very real person. "Always" is the word that God uses and Jesus uses. This means all the days of summer, winter, spring and autumn, the sunny days and the cloudy days, the days of storm of joy, the days of faith, the days of doubt, the days of youth where significant decisions are made that will set us on a path for the rest of our lives. When decisions are being carried through, God meant it when he said, "I will be with you always." Here then is the final word of our Lord to his people. You take it from here. At the very end of Jesus' ministry, he expressed the royal authority of the King. "It is by the authority of heaven and the authority of earth entrusted to him that Jesus says to every Christian, you take it from here." What Jesus is telling his disciples, that there is work to be done, and that work will continue to be needed until the end and he returns. That work has been given to us as his people. May God give us the faith, wisdom and grace to faithfully fulfill the task that has been set for all Christians throughout all eternity. Amen.